Right now we're in this series called Welcome to Willowbrook. We're looking at our core values as a church, the things that define us and that we want to be about as a church. And so if you are new here, this is a really good time to be here because you're finding out what is this church about. If you don't know me, my name is Ben, and I forgot to put my name tag on today, but I'm Ben, and I serve as the campus pastor here at Willowbrook. Some of you may know that I grew up in Tanzania in East Africa. Well, growing up in Tanzania, soccer, of course, is the number one sport. I played all the time. I played at school during recess with my friends. I played in our backyard at home with goalposts made of bamboo. I played soccer in the backyard with neighborhood kids, right? We would choose our teams and our based on our soccer heroes and our nationalities. So I am part German. I think you got a little preview on the screen up there behind me there. In 1990, this dates me, this is when I was a child, Germany won the World Cup. They beat Argentina. So I grew up pretending to be one of the players on the German national team there. There is Lothar Matthäus and Jürgen Klinsmann, two of my heroes growing up in their German soccer jerseys. I dreamed of being like them, right? Of wearing that national team jersey representing Germany at the World Cup. Well, I feel like today's kids mostly want to be Messi, right? I feel like he has single-handedly made pink jerseys cool for everyone to wear, soccer players or not, with his Inter Miami jerseys. Maybe soccer players, your hero is Christine Sinclair, right? Canadian soccer legend, or Alphonso Davies, or we are in Canada, I realize, so NHL hockey players. I'm not going to name one because they probably play for a team that is not your team. But what do you do when you want to be like your hero, right? Well, you wear the jersey. I'm surprised we don't have any Blue Jays jerseys on here this morning here. But you wear the jersey, right? You practice his or her signature moves. Entire movies are premised on this, right? Bend it like Beckham. You watch the games. You watch the highlights. You follow them on social media. You imitate them. Well, you might not be a sports fan, I realize, or maybe you've reached that point in your life where you're like, I just know I'm not going to make it in the NHL. I just realized that. But the question for all of us is, who is your hero? Who are you following? Who are you imitating in your life? Well, let's listen to Jesus' invitation to all of us again today. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of people. Willowbrook, Jesus is inviting us. Come, follow me. And as we respond to that invitation, he begins to shape us, to transform us, to become more like him. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 puts it this way. We all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Friends, we're being transformed into the image of Jesus. If he's our hero, if he's the one that we're following, we start to look and act more like him. And the more we look at Jesus, the more we contemplate him, the more we become like him as the Spirit works in us. This is an incredible promise. As we prepare to jump into our sermon for the day, let's pray and just ask God's presence with us here again. Jesus, thank you for the invitation that you give us to follow you and for the promise that you will be transforming us by your Spirit into your image. Help us today to follow you more closely. As we hear from your word this morning, I pray that you would transform our minds, our hearts, and our lives, and our habits to be more like you. Amen. Well, today in our series, we're looking at our second core value, living the gospel, living the gospel. And in this series, all of these values that we're looking at how they help us live out our mission of connecting people in Willowbrook with the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Connecting people in Willowbrook, in our community here, with the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. So how do we live out the gospel, the good news that Jesus has come to redeem the whole world, that he saves us from our sins, that he's given his life for us, and that we're loved and forgiven by God? What does that look like when that message actually starts to take root in our lives, in our hearts, and it starts to get worked out? When the good news is not just something that we believe in our heads, but we live out in our relationships, our work, our neighborhood. I think living the gospel means that the message of Jesus is starting to change us from the inside, that people around us start to notice it. Our family members notice it. Our friends notice it. Our neighbors. Living the gospel means becoming more and more like Jesus, being transformed into his image. And so Jesus, again, invites us with these words, "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of people," from Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Last week, Pastor Eric focused kind of on the first part of that verse, the invitation to follow Jesus. And he talked about how we are wanted by Jesus and how loved we are by God. That before we do anything for God, before we serve him or anything like that, we're wanted by him and loved by him. And so thank you, Eric, for that great message last week. This week, we're going to kind of focus a little bit on the second part of that verse. I will make you fishers of people. As we follow Jesus, we're becoming more like Jesus. And we start to have the opportunity then to lead others to Jesus because we're living that out. So when we talk about apprenticeship here at Willowbrook, here's how we break down that verse. Come, follow me. Kind of break that down into being loved by Jesus and led by Jesus. And then the second part, I will make you fishers of people, that involves becoming like Jesus and leading others to Jesus. So I hope that kind of makes sense how we're kind of unpacking that today. As we respond to Jesus, he starts to shape us. He starts to form us. Remember that we're apprentices. We're learning from the master. We're watching Jesus and his way of being in the world. We're learning from him. So Willowbrook, this morning, here is Jesus' invitation for us today. He invites us to keep learning from him. We've responded to that invitation. Maybe we're walking with him, and we're learning to live the gospel. And hear these words from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29. Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." These are some of my all-time favorite verses of the Bible. I feel like I need to hear these words from Jesus over and over again. For me, even as I'm reading these verses up front here as part of a sermon, a message, it's like taking a deep breath, in and out, just letting go of whatever burden I'm carrying. Rest for your souls. I need that. Let's talk about a few things in those verses. First of all, what's a yoke? As some of you probably know, a yoke is a farming implement, a tool, usually worn by a pair of oxen or horses as they pull a load or a plow. It's used to do work to help the animals carry a burden. Let's see if we have a picture of that. Oh, wait. Looks like we got the wrong slide here. Not egg yolks. That's the right yoke. There we go. A double yoke on oxen, right? They're pulling a load together. Jesus knows we're weary and burdened, or heavy laden, as some translations have it, by the yoke that we carry on our shoulders. Come to me, all you who are weary. You're carrying a heavy load. I can see there's a big weight on your shoulders. I wonder, what are the burdens that we carry? Well, in Jesus' day, his listeners might have thought of the yoke of the Torah. The Pharisees, the Jewish religious teachers, they taught that to get close to God, to gain wisdom, you had to follow all the rules in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. That is 613 commandments in total to keep, to which they added lots of additional rules and kind of traditions that you also had to keep. And that heavy yoke of trying to keep all those commandments felt impossible for most ordinary people. Maybe it feels impossible for you too. Some of us, I think, carry heavy yokes of our own making, though. We put expectations and burdens on ourselves, the impossible standards that we have. Maybe it's perfectionism. We've burdened ourselves. Maybe it sounds like something like this. I need to be the best parent ever. I'm going to be at every practice, every game, every rehearsal, every performance. Every meal is going to be home cooked, and my kids are going to love it. I'm always going to be emotionally available for my kids, but also spend time with my spouse, and I'm also going to have a hobby, and I'm doing that on top of my full-time job. Whew! That can feel like a heavy yoke. Or maybe it's the yoke of trying to keep up with our neighbors and making sure that we are making more money, buying more things, driving a nicer car. Or it's the burden of debt, that feeling of working really hard in whatever you're doing, but feeling like you're just not getting ahead. There's no way out. Or it might be the burdens that our image kind of conscious culture puts on us, right? You have to have a perfect body, great hair, great complexion. Sometimes the yoke we carry is others' expectations of us. We're trying desperately to please our mom or dad, and it just never feels like enough. Or you can never work hard enough to please your boss. Often the yoke that I feel like I'm carrying is one of not meeting expectations, my own or others. I'm afraid I'm going to let people down, that they'll be disappointed in me, that what I'm doing is not enough. My leadership or my preaching or whatever isn't good enough. I'm not a good enough friend. I'm not a good enough son. I'm not a good enough dad. Sometimes I carry that burden of not enough, and it feels heavy. So Jesus sees us struggling under the heavy loads that we carry, and he says, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Whew. Deep breath again. Jesus invites us, come to him. We're invited to a person. As N.T. Wright says, Jesus is offering what he has in himself to offer. We're drawn by his joy, his warmth, his gentleness, his tender heart, his mercy. There's a book that I love that unpacks these verses. It's called Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. In this book, Dane Ortlund talks about the heart of Jesus, who reveals the heart of the Father to us. What draws us to Jesus, his kindness, his gentleness, his humility, those are the same qualities, the same things that we see in the Father that should draw us to him. When we see Jesus, we see the Father. And God's heart for us is gentle and humble. And so the way to get close to God, it's not by keeping all the rules, the heavy yoke of the Torah. It's not by checking every box on a moral inventory or a moral checklist of do's and don'ts, right? Instead, it's learning to trust the Father's love for us. It's coming to God as a child to his or her parent, full of trust in their love. Jesus says again to us today, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't say, I'll destroy the yoke that you're carrying, right? Maybe we want him just to kind of destroy a yoke and we're totally yoke-free. Instead, he says, take my yoke upon you. We're actually trading one yoke for another. But his yoke is easy and light. See, Jesus knows that we're all wearing some kind of yoke. We all have something on our shoulders, the unrealistic expectations of ourselves or others, our anxieties, our fears, our perfectionism, maybe the weight of failures or mistakes. So he offers us instead an easy yoke. Now, when I used to read these verses, I always assumed that Jesus meant that simply his teachings were the yoke, right? Like the Sermon on the Mount or something like that. But Pastor Daryl Johnson helped me to see this in a new way. By the way, for those of you who are keeping track, if you've been here for 5 Sundays, you will know that this is my 3rd sermon in a row quoting Daryl Johnson. I am unapologetically a big fan of Daryl Johnson. And for those who don't know that name, Pastor Daryl Johnson is a pastor at a church in Vancouver called The Way. Before that, he taught at Regent College in Vancouver and pastored First Baptist Church. Now, unfortunately, I never had him as a professor at Regent. Our times there didn't quite overlap. But I attended First Baptist for a while, so I got to hear him preach there. And actually, one of my most memorable experiences with Daryl was a retreat for young pastors that another professor from Regent, Don Lewis, organized. And we were all together in a cabin with Daryl for 2 days while he's just explaining the parables of Luke to us. I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I'm a big fan of Daryl. I love how he points to Jesus always in his teaching. And so you will probably hear me quote him often. Maybe not every Sunday, but often. Anyway, Daryl makes the case that the yoke that Jesus is talking about here is his own relationship with the Father. It's his relationship that the Son has with the Father, relationship with the Heavenly Father who loves us. The yoke that Jesus invites us to carry is this relationship with the Father, to glorify the Father through the work the Father has given us to do. It's an easy yoke. It's a light burden because the Father is already pleased with Jesus. And because of Jesus, because of what he has done, and because we have access through him to the Father is pleased with us too. We don't have to work hard to earn his approval because Jesus already approves of us. So the yoke that Jesus offers us is relationship with his Father, a Father who is gentle, who's humble, who's full of mercy and kindness. And that yoke becomes even easier when we realize that we're not carrying it alone. We're actually invited to carry it together with Jesus. Remember that picture of the two oxen? There's actually two carrying it. And so Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." And that implies that he's carrying that with us. He's right next to us carrying that burden. And when it gets heavy for us, he lifts us and he carries us. He's doing the heavy work for us. Deep breath again. "Come to me, all you who are weary. I will give you rest." Willowbrook, when we come to Jesus, when we respond to his invitation, "Come, follow me," he invites us into that deep, soul-satisfying rest of relationship with the Father, of being loved by the Father. I think that's something we can rest in. So as apprentices of Jesus then, as we're becoming more like him, we're being drawn deeper into the relationship with the Father. Jesus is our Lord, our Master, we're his apprentices, but our apprenticeship is actually into relationship. And so Jesus is the one who's going to show us how to live out that relationship, how to strengthen and deepen and grow in it. What can we learn from Jesus about that relationship to the Father? Well, we start to imitate him, right? We start to follow him and do the things that he does, like our childhood sports heroes, become more like him. Instead of a soccer jersey, we could all get Jesus sandals to wear. These are the sandals I picture Jesus wore, right? Like leather sandals with lots of straps. We could get Jesus sandals. But more realistically, and probably way more effectively, we can start to practice the habits, the things that Jesus did. That's how you grow in a relationship, right? Habits and practices, they form us. They shape us into who we are, what we're becoming. Think of a sled that's going down a hill through fresh snow. The more you go down that hill through the same ruts, the deeper and more ingrained those ruts become as you go down. And habits work the same way in our lives. The more we practice them, the more we do them, the more they become ingrained, the deeper they become. And because they're habits, often we're not even aware of them. We just do them sort of automatically. They're working below the surface to shape us and form us. By the way, here are just two great books that talk about habits and how to develop habits that help us become more like Jesus. The first is one called You Are What You Love by Jamie K. Smith. This one is a bit more philosophical. It kind of explores the theology and psychology of how habits form us. The other one is called Habits of the Household by Justin Early. This one is great for families, and it helps you form kind of liturgies and habits for your kids, for your family, shaping them and you as parents. It's easy to read. It's super practical. Lillian and I have attempted a few of these suggestions in the book, and it's just really fun. Well, let's think about some of the habits, the unseen forces that are forming and shaping us. I think top of the list, we'd probably agree, are our social media habits. Hours on Netflix or doom scrolling on social media, this constant diet of news feeds and updates on our phones. All of it is shaping our desires, shaping who we're becoming, as well as just taking up a lot of time. Or consider just the algorithms that dictate so much of what we actually do see online, right? These things that are working below the surface that we don't even know about, that are steering us in different directions to see the things that they think we want to see and then seeing more of that. And so we end up in these echo chambers where you only see and hear the things that you already believe or want to see and what other people around you that are like you see. And we end up becoming more polarized into these little groups that don't understand and hear each other. Or our peers, right? This is true especially for teens, but I think it's actually true for all of us. We're being shaped and formed by the people around us and our friends. When I moved back home after university to New Mexico, my home state, a lot of my friends there were into mountain biking. I was not into mountain biking at the time. I was like, I got to hang out with my friends, so I started going mountain biking with them. And pretty soon, every weekend, I was out mountain biking, sometimes even without my friends. I was like, I realized I have become a mountain biker. These are the things, right, that are shaping and forming us, our habits, our practices, our peers. So what were Jesus' practices? What shaped and formed him? What can we learn from him about how to grow and sustain that relationship with the Father? The first one, I think, is simply time with the Father. In any relationship, right, you invest in it through time. And throughout the Gospels, we read how Jesus would go away alone to a quiet place to pray. Jesus spent time with his Father in prayer. In the book of Mark, we read, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Our first core value as a church, if you remember, is on our knees. We talked about the importance of prayer and of worship and how they form and shape us. Prayer is that invitation to come to the loving Heavenly Father who just welcomes us in. We have a conversation with him. We share what's on our hearts, our needs. Worship is responding to who God is and to what he's done for us through his salvation, and then giving him glory and praise through song, through our daily lives as well. And Jesus spent time in prayer and in worship. You see that throughout Scripture. So we're learning from him. We're becoming more like him. We're carrying that easy yoke of relationship. Another key practice is time in the Word, reading the Bible, being formed and shaped by God's truth as revealed in his Word. Matthew chapter 4, this is early in Jesus' ministry, actually, before he goes out to start preaching. We read how Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He's fasted for 40 days, and Satan comes and tempts him, and one of the temptations is to turn the rocks into bread. And Jesus responds with the words of Scripture. He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He's quoting Deuteronomy there. And Jesus knew the Scriptures, and so he was able to respond to Satan, the accuser, with the truth of Scripture in that time. When you see Jesus interacting with the Pharisees, the religious teachers of his time, it's so interesting how many times he will correct their interpretation of Scripture or show them another Scripture that actually helps understand God better. And I think this is, again, we can learn from this. We can learn from Jesus' way of interacting with God's Word. When I was a student at Regent, I spent a lot of time in the library. And the library is kind of below the building there, but it's a beautiful library full of great books by really smart people. But every time I would walk into the library, I would pass this picture that had a quote from Psalm 119 on it that says, "The entrance of thy words brings light." It's from an older King James there. "The entrance of thy words brings light." That was such a good reminder for me, going into a place of books and learning and intellectual things, to remember that it's God's word alone that actually brings transformation, that brings light to my life. So here are just a few practices of the word that keep us connected to God, that shape us in a relationship with him. Some of you probably already do some of these, and that's great, but maybe you're new to Jesus or new to church, and you'd want to explore some of these, and that is awesome too. The first is simply hearing from God's word on Sunday morning as we're doing right here in church. And this is a habit that is forming us, our sung worship, our prayers, but also hearing from God's word. It's shaping us and forming us. Another thing that our church encourages is life journal reading. And this is a two-year plan of reading through the Bible and kind of some notes on how to kind of read it and take some, write down prayer requests and things like that in it as well to engage with what you're reading. It's three chapters a day, Old Testament, New Testament, and Psalms. And if you stick with it, you get through the Bible in 2 years. You actually get through the New Testament twice, I think, and the Psalms a couple times. But it's a great way of getting the full scope of God's Word, right? From beginning to end. And what I love is the connections that you start to make. You're like, oh, this is happening in the Old Testament, and I'm reading about something that connects with that in the New Testament. So it's a great way of bringing those together. Of course, there's lots of other different ways of reading the Bible as well, through devotional reading on your own, or apps to listen to on your commute. I know people who love to just listen to God's word on their drive. Just one more key practice here is time in community. And Jesus did this with his 12 disciples. We're going to spend the next 2 weeks focusing on the practices of community when we look at our third core value, with shared lives. But all of these are practices, habits, that shaped Jesus' relationship with the Father, that easy yoke that he wants to offer us. They can shape us too as we apprentice to Jesus. Now, maybe as I was going through some of those practices, you actually felt a little burdened and weary because you're like, oh, I'm not doing any of those things, or I'm not doing them enough. Sometimes I feel that way. I'm like, oh man, I know all these things, but I don't always do them perfectly. And that can start to feel like a burden as well. So we need to hear Jesus' words again in those moments. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You see, we're invited to Jesus himself. We're invited to put down our heavy burdens, to take up his easy yoke instead. He promises rest for our souls. As we respond to that invitation, as we become more like Jesus, we're transformed into the image of Jesus. And as we become more like Jesus, those around us start to notice, right? This is living out the gospel. We're actually becoming like Jesus. That's living out the gospel, because our neighbors start to see that. Our friends start to see that. Our family members notice it. We're living the gospel in just the ordinary, everyday of our lives. And as we do that, we actually naturally start leading others to Jesus as well. Like the first disciples that Jesus called by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is calling us and transforming us for a purpose. It's to draw others to Jesus as well, to be fishers of people, as he told the first disciples. We're going to look at that value more in our last core value as we look at through generous love. Come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of people. We hear Jesus' invitation to us. We're loved, we're wanted, we're accepted. And we respond to Jesus. We start to take those first steps in faith. And as we do, as we keep walking with Jesus, he transforms us to become more like him. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 again. We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I'd love to invite our worship band to come up again. We're going to sing a couple more songs as a response to God and what he's doing. Just to remind you as well of our prayer team that's available. They'll be on the sides, I believe up front here, and you can pray with the team here. Or if you just prefer a more quiet place, the prayer room is available. And so we'd love to have you use the prayer room, which is just out through those doors there. Let's just pray here as we respond to God. Jesus, I thank you again for this invitation that you have to each one of us here to find rest in you. Thank you for the ways in which you call us into that. Thank you for the ways in which you're teaching us to become more like you. Help us just to rest in that this morning, even as we sing together.